It's so good to see you guys here. Can I just tell you, you have a beautiful family. They are. Look at you all looking at her like, yep, she did it all, didn't she? Heck yeah, you have a beautiful family. I'm so glad to see you. I can't wait to come back and visit with you again. You know that. I'm excited. You know, Memorial Day is past, and we've officially entered the travel season. You guys like going on road trips? Yeah? Even at $5 a gallon? Heck yeah. You know why? Because we've been locked down for 2 years. We're going to spend money on gas, and we're going. Period. Ain't that right? Heck yeah. I titled this sermon, On the Road Again. Yeah, exactly. I was waiting for somebody to do it because that way I don't have to, but I'm going to anyway. On the road again. You know it. Just can't wait to get on the road again. You guys should be glad I didn't sing Eastbound and Down. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound. No. You guys, man, are killing me. Aren't you glad I didn't sing Convoy? Huh? Looks like we got ourselves a convoy. We got a mighty convoy. You guys are going to hate me in about 2 hours. You know that? Because you guys are going to be driving along, and at some point in time, all these songs are going to boom right inside your noggin, and you're going to start singing these things, and you're going to go, I hate that, Pastor. Because those stupid songs are going to be stuck in your head for the rest of the day. You're welcome. I love traveling, man. I love traveling. You know, since we started ministry, Valerie and I have been on the road for like almost 200 hours. Traveling between different churches, going on vacation, getting lost, trying to find our way back. But 200 hours, man, we spent on the road over the last 10 years. And you know what? Lord, thank you. I thank you for Ridgeview. Because I feel like I'm settled here. I feel like this is my home now. I feel like you're my family. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. But like Joe said, you know, as much as Valerie and I and Daniel have spent on the road over the last two years, there's a couple things that we couldn't wait to see. Exit ramps. And rest areas. Right? So today we're going to talk about rest areas, and next week we're going to talk about what exit ramps look like. And so, in our lives, we work hard. And there's times that we need to just take a break. And when you're on the road, like Joe said, you know, you except he didn't leave me any Cheez-Its, and I'm torqued. Remind me to have staff tomorrow. We talk about Cheez-Its and Kit Kats. He's right. When we get to rest areas, man, besides going to the bathroom, right, which we all appreciate, we like to stretch our legs. Just get out and stand up and walk. But what if we're not traveling? What do we need to do if the daily grind of life is just beating us down and we need a place of rest? Maybe we go to a park, right? Maybe we go to our favorite coffee store, or maybe we just find our chair. Our favorite chair, just to sit and just to be. It's a place where we can go and just be comfortable and let our cares go and just unwind. I mean, that helps our body, but what about our spirit? What about when our spirit is restless and we just can't find a way to get comfortable? That's what we're going to look at today. And so today, we're going to talk about rest areas. So if you'll go to the Lord with me today in prayer, we're going to dive into Matthew chapter 11. It's the first of the Gospels, 11th chapter. If you go to the 11th chapter, we're going to read verses 28 through 30. You guys are pretty, if you've been in church any time, you're probably familiar with this. I am going to read from the new Revised Standard Version today. But you can follow along with either your Bible app or you can follow along with the Bibles that we have in the pews. Father God, Lord, we come before you today thanking you. Lord, we thank you for the love and grace that you poured out on the cross for each one of us, Lord, for our forgiveness, Lord, for loving us, Lord, when we were unlovable. And yet, God, there's times that we struggle in this world, and we need to come to you. The heaviness of life, the heaviness and the weights of living in this world, Lord, that is so reaped with sin, Lord, it's hard. We know it's hard. But Lord, you know it's hard as well. And so you offer us something special through Jesus Christ. A place where we can rest. A place where we can come and find hope and peace, compassion, place of mercy. So Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for all those people that will be listening today, and all those people that will be listening next week, Lord, and all those people that are here with us today. God, that you have brought us here together to hear your word. And so Lord, as we prepare to hear that word, God, we just ask that you purge our hearts right now of all the things that are on our minds. And let us solely focus on what you have to tell us. Soften our hearts, Lord. Let your spirit work within us so that we can receive what you have to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 11. We're going to look at these verses. Again, I said you're probably very familiar with them. It starts off with this. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Three things in this passage that jump off the page to me. I see, the first thing I do is I see Jesus offering an invitation that he gives us to come to him. Second, I want to talk about the relationship that Jesus invites us into. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And finally, I want to talk about the reward that we can expect when we accept his invitation to walk with him. It says, "You will find rest for your souls." Three good stuff, right? Pretty good stuff. Let's start with the invitation. "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." You guys heard Tattoo? No, not the little guy from Fantasy Island. I'm talking about Tattoo the Basset Hound. What? Well, you must not be from Washington. All right, so let me tell you the story about Tattoo the Basset Hound, who was actually from Washington State, from Tacoma, right? In 1990, Tattoo went out for a drag. That's the best way to put it. His owners were going for a drive, and somehow they forgot to put Tattoo in the car, and they shut his leash in the door, and they went for the drive. Tattoo was an 8-month-old Basset Hound puppy. And so Basset Hound legs aren't that big anyway, and so the puppy, they're probably that much smaller. They didn't find Tattoo until a police officer on a motorcycle saw something dragging behind the car, pulled up, and got him to stop. They figured that Tattoo had exceeded speed limit of at least 20 to 25 miles an hour. Tumbling and tossing down the road. But praise God, man, he didn't suffer a whole lot of injuries. Pretty resilient. I want to start by saying, am I the only one in here that felt like Tattoo? Huh? Have you guys ever felt like Tattoo? That you've been beaten, dragged down the highway, tossing and tumbling, praying to God that somebody's going to stop this ride so you can get off. holy cow. You see, when Jesus started these words, he says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He was actually talking to the religious leaders because he had a group of people, Pharisees on the outside, and then the people that he was preaching to on the inside of his group. But he was always talking so everybody could hear. And this time he was talking to the religious leaders who said, the Pharisees had put so many rules on coming to God and being close to God. So many rules. I keep thinking back that if I was one of those guys that Jesus was talking to, it would have been hard. I guess it would have been even hard just to be a Pharisee at that time, because you had this book of rules. And if somebody wanted to come up and repent for their sin, and then you had to go down table one to find out what the unclean blemished animal was for this sin, and if they didn't have this, then you had to refer to table two and find out what the equivalent to that was. So you'd look at table two, reference table three, and say, okay, you need to bring a dove. That's hard stuff. They made it so hard that pretty much their entire life, the people that were listening to the Pharisees were just beaten nothing but unclean. Unclean, 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 unclean. I don't care. You're unclean. I'm the only one that's clean because I make the rules. Therefore, I'm clean. We spend so much time working and living life that we have a hard time trying to come to God for rest. Amen? You guys tracking with me on this? It's hard. It's hard out there. It's hard in our jobs. It's hard in our family life. And when we come home, all we want to do is just unwind our chair. Because see, we get up in the morning, we prepare ourselves for the day, we live out the day, and then we come home, we're physically, mentally, and emotionally spent. Not only do we have not enough time with our families or our spouses, we're denied our ability to commune with God. We're just too tired. And then the irony of that is that we know that if we commune with God, the understanding that comes from his word will give us that deeper relationship with the Lord that will help us. Jesus says, come to me, I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will give you rest. I don't know about you guys. Valerie and I have been married. How long we've been married? There'll be a quiz later. We're hoping that they'll remember for us for next year. 11, 12, 12 years. 12 years. Oh, holy, what an adventure, huh? 12 years we've been married. And you know what? Somebody who's been married over 30 years? 40. 50. Can I just ask you a question real quick? You guys who've been together for a long time, you guys have been married how long? 25. You know what's cool about marriage? That you survive, you actually survive. I'm just going to say you survive this long. But, and the reason I say that, and I don't say that unloving, I say that with love, because even at 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 55, and beyond, there are still rules within the marriage that are unspoken, right? Unwritten. And if you're a guy, unlearned. I'm going to confess that. Tony, I'm going to confess that, brother. I'm going to confess that. But yet God, even even as we try to navigate all the unwritten, all the unspoken things that we're trying to navigate in this world, right? Because it doesn't just apply to marriage. It applies to our life outside. How do we navigate this, right? How do we navigate this? And God, Jesus says, come to me, come to me, come to me. God even said back in Jeremiah, he said this in Jeremiah, he says, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. You see, the rest that Jesus gives us is the knowledge of an eternal life. It's that there still will be work, there still will be effort, there still will be service, but there's also love, and there's also a place for healing, and there's also the promise of peace with God. The rest that Jesus promises also is the freedom from the guilt of sin. That's powerful stuff. He speaks in his rest of delivering us from the fears of our life, from despair that we have. One of the greatest parts about the rest that Jesus promises us is the continued comfort and guidance of the Holy Spirit. See, the invitation that Christ gives is that we will find the renewal of our relationship with him in his rest. And that's what we strive for. Second, I want to talk about the relationship that Jesus offers. He says this, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the yoke side of this, other than to say that it was made so that a beast of burden could, that as they're working, they could carry it and not be beat down, burdened by it. You see, perfectly fitted, that yoke would be able to guide without just bruising or galling the neck. For those of you who supported us yesterday, I want to say thank you. And I'm talking about our adventure with Serve Vermilion County. It was hard work. We were beasts of burden. We moved, what, 5 ton? 5 ton of pea gravel we moved. And I thank God for my work gloves. Because my work gloves, over the course of time, they have become well-fitted, and they allow me to work at a pace that I'm not capable of doing if I don't have work gloves. You guys tracking with me now? Huh? Sometimes it's hard to do work if something's ill-fitting or it doesn't work for you. If we're just honest with ourselves for a minute and say, you know, if we've at any point in time that we've lived on this earth, we have felt that the yoke of life was ill-fitting. Amen? It literally weighs our necks down. And part of the reason that yoke brings us down is because we try and live the life that the world tells us we should live life. It tells us how we should live. And then you got some Christian like me who stands up here on the platform on Sunday and say, you need to live like the Bible says. And then everybody looks at it and says, but wait a minute, preacher. This book is nothing but a book of rules just to further bring me down. It's just a bunch of rules. Why would I want to live like that? I'm already having enough time trying to follow the rules of the world, and you want me to live by more rules? You see, if we look at it through that lens, then we're nothing more than rebellious. God says his yoke, the yoke of his word, is light and easy. You see, the problem that I mostly hear, that this book of rules means we're prideful. Means we're a sinful bunch. It means we're a sinful bunch of folks. The Bible describes us as stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and of ears, because we don't have a heart of flesh or ears to hear. You know why I say this? Because we like our freedoms. Amen? Freedom to choose. We like the freedom to make our own choices, the freedom to decide the direction of our lives, who we will marry, where we will work, what we will buy, where we will live, and how we will live. That sounds kind of selfish, don't it, all of a sudden? Doesn't that sound kind of like all about me? Holy cow. And Jesus says, what if we really did take this book and learn from him? I want you guys to write down Proverbs 8. Put it in your notes. Do something with it. But I want you to remember Proverbs 8. And why do I point out Proverbs 8? Because Proverbs 8, wisdom speaks in the first person. Let me say that again. Proverbs 8, wisdom speaks in the first person. You know, when in John it says the word became flesh and he dwelt among us. Proverbs 8 is wisdom talking from the first person. If you go back before the incarnation, this is how I know that these are God's word. This is how I know that these are the words of Jesus talking to us through Proverbs 8. Listen to what I'm going to read verses 27 through 30, but I encourage you to read all of them. It says, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, and when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the seas to its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him. Then I was beside him like a master workman. We've heard that all knowledge and wisdom come from God. God has shared the mysteries of knowledge and of wisdom with Jesus, who shares them with us through his word. It falls upon us to listen to them. It falls upon us to trust in them. I'm going to chase a rabbit real quick. You guys don't mind. Even if you do, I'm going to do it anyway. You guys all carried, well, I shouldn't say that anymore, Chris, because why? Most of us don't carry cash anymore. But somewhere on Cash America are the famous words, "In God we trust." Right? We trust in the money. Why don't we trust in the word? Because see, we have a hard time trusting God with our everyday. I found this quote on Pinterest. It says, God isn't asking us to figure it out. He's asking us to trust that he already has. He's given us an invitation to join him in this wonderful relationship that through the admitting of our sinful and repenting so that we can enter into this relationship where we are, where we just allow and we surrender. We allow him to lead. We allow him to bear our burdens and to give us a heart of flesh to help other, to help bear others' burdens. That's what love looks like. That's what mercy looks like. And that is what Jesus looks like. That's what a relationship with Jesus can be if we just accept his invitation. Finally, I want to talk about this reward. This reward. He says, you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I hate that I have to confess this. But I think you'll agree with me when I say this, that Our relationship with Jesus has really been clouded by the legalism of the church. It has. Our relationship with Jesus has been clouded by the legalism of the church. The way we posture for prayer or the rules for being freed from sin. I mean, think of the way the Pharisees did it. You have to pray like this. You have to stand there. Even the way they washed their hands with eggs and stones. If you didn't, you were unclean. The Mishnah and all the rules for sacrifices. The Bible says this in Matthew 23 about the Pharisees. It says they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear. They lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. Their deeds were seen by others. They loved their place of honor. They loved their accolades. But yet the people who were supposed to be loving God were saddled by their religion. They were saddled by it. That's why we here at this church believe that the gospel has the power to change everything. And we believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to change our relationship with God and each other. That's what we believe. Jesus says, come to me and you will find rest for your souls. The completed work of Christ and our acceptance of him completes our salvation. It's through him and through that that our eternal salvation is secured. Through him that we have this incredible reward waiting for us. The crown of life. The crown of glory. The crown of righteousness. All await those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I know. This world is draining. There's so much stinking drama. Social media just like sucks the life out of everything. Who doesn't feel like they're under this never-ending, unceasing attack? I felt that way. Have you? Have you felt that way? Maybe you're feeling that way right now. It's okay. Jesus gave us this wonderful thing. And the apostle James said this. He says in James 1:21, he says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God promises to those who love him. Do you love God? You love Jesus? I'm going to start wrapping up, Tony, because we're going to take communion today. I want you guys to, typically when we take communion, we offer a time of reflection prior to us taking the elements because we want people to make sure that we're doing it for the right reason. And normally we would talk that through, but I want us right now, because of what we've learned today and what we've heard, I want us to take time to have that time of reflection. Let's take this time right now to have this time of reflection. And I want you guys to think about this. If you didn't already know it, life is tough. It's tough. And sometimes we just need a place to rest. What we're feeling today is the same thing that Israel felt when they were wandering through the desert. God had set them free, and the first thing they did when Moses came down with the tablet was rebelled against God, and they smashed the Ten Commandments, and then there was this period of uncertainty, kind of like where we're at right now. We're kind of in this period of uncertainty. And Moses, like all of us, Moses had doubts. He had doubts about himself. He had doubts about his people. He had doubts about the whole thing. And then one day he went into church. When I say church, I mean the tent of meeting. One day he goes into church and he's sitting there and he's talking with God. And he said this. I'm going to read some verses here. They're not on the screen. He said this to the Lord. He said, Lord, you've been telling me to take these people to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. Moses goes on. He says, you've told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably upon you. And then he said, if it is true that you look favorably upon me, let me know your ways. Let me know your ways so that I can understand you more and fully continue to enjoy your favor. Is everything that Moses asked for, is it not stuff that we so desire as well? Is it not the same thing that we, God, you know my name. You know my name. You see, because we need reassurance too. We need the same reassurance that Moses did. We need the validation from God that he is with us and that he's never forgotten us. And this is what the Lord said to Moses. He said this for Moses in Exodus 33:14. He said, I will personally go with you, Moses. I will personally go with you and I will give you rest. And everything will be fine for you. Everything will be fine for you. What I'd like you guys to do today, I'm going to bring the deacons down. I want you to just bow your head and close your eyes and listen to what I'm going to say. And then we're going to have the deacons pray for our elements, and then we'll pass out communion and take communion. But as they come forward, and they're going to take a seat and be with us. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Every day, we have to make decisions, and we hope that we make the right ones. There are some decisions certainly more simple and easy than the other ones, but it's the tough ones that we dread. And we dread them because we're uncertain of the outcome. And what we need is knowledge and wisdom that comes from God. Jesus says, learn from me because I am wisdom. The days are long. The ways of the world grow more confusing all the time. The daily grind wears us down. Even the job of staying true to God, it's tough. And I know you're tired because I get it. And sometimes the harder we try, the more we fall short of the mark. And yet Jesus says, my yoke is easy. He doesn't offer us a lazy boy and a cold drink. He offers us his yoke. Yoke was meant for two animals. It was meant for two, wasn't it? And when we wear the yoke and we're yoked to Jesus, isn't it wonderful to know that we have a Savior who's doing most of the pulling, who's bearing the weight? And suddenly the weight doesn't seem as heavy. The work doesn't seem as hard. The decisions are easier. And there's more joy and peace in our lives. And then all of a sudden, the dread of the day is turning into a smile, knowing that you are yoked to the Son of God. So are you connected to Jesus? Maybe here, right now, you need to surrender yourself to him. Maybe the weight of life is so heavy that you need a partner in Jesus. we prepare for communion, allow the Spirit to guide you in this process. And if there's things that you need to talk to us about, we'll be here after. We'll be here after we get those. We'll be down here in front. We'll pray with you. We'll talk with you. We'll love you. Because that's what we're here for, as a family. That's what we're here. That's what being part of the family of God looks like for all of us.